Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is NFL Sunday with Jermaine Wiggins and Rich Keefe, broadcasting from the Best Yet Studios in Boston. NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. Wiggy and Keefe on WEEI.
From the Best Yet Studios in Brighton, it is NFL Sunday, NFL Divisional Round Edition. Rich Keefe, Jermaine Wiggins here with you, taking up until 2:30. Then you can listen to both remaining divisional round games right here on WEEI. Texans and Chiefs kick off just after 3 o'clock. And then the weekend comes to an end with the Seahawks and Packers. Wiggy, how are you this morning?
I am doing well.
You must be feeling really good, to be honest. Don't sugarcoat it. You're doing better than well.
I take a victory lap. Yeah. I had been saying this for about, I don't want to know, I want to say maybe 8 weeks that Baltimore would lose the divisional round. And now, granted, I'm only able to see into the future a certain distance.
Right. Not too far. That'd be kind of crazy.
Yes, because I'm only half mutant.
Yes, right.
So I had what I saw in the future was Baltimore losing in the divisional round, and then the Patriots ultimately being able to host the AFC Championship game.
They'll leave that part out of it. But you said Ravens were going to lose in the divisional round. You would sort of sniff that out for a while. And what were some of the reasons why you thought Baltimore would lose?
Well, I had said this. I said, when's the last time we've seen a team? And I think Baltimore had lost. Their last game that they lost might have been week 4, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right. They went on a hell of a run.
And the last team to do that was the 0-3 Patriots.
Right.
And it's extremely difficult to go that long without having one little stumble and like maybe refocusing you or whatever it might have been or maybe bringing you back down to earth a little bit, because I think the confidence level was great by the Ravens, but I think they went a little too overconfident.
Well, they really did. And there's a bunch of examples. I know Earl Thomas had a quote. I forget when he said it.
Oh, that was a while back.
When he was like, whoever we play in the Super Bowl is going to be in for it.
Right.
Like, oh boy, Earl. And Earl also, I really enjoyed this one. He said that the Patriots didn't seem very interested in tackling Derrick Henry.
Right.
And then did you see what Derrick Henry did to Earl Thomas that one play?
I did see him with the stiffy, like, boy.
He spun him around.
Right.
He spun him
and
around.
And then put it in his back like, nah, man, get out of here.
He used him like a lead blocker and just kind of shoved him forward.
He should be thankful that Derrick Henry said, you know what, I'm just going to go out of bounds rather than run up your back.
Derrick Henry had more rushing yards against Baltimore than he did New England.
King Henry in the flesh. Whoa, whoa.
The guy's absolutely incredible. Just a dominant performance by Derrick Henry. But more, when you look at Baltimore, what do you make of, because I know people are on both sides of this one. Week 17, Baltimore didn't have anything to play for, so they sat like most of their guys.
Well, you know, I think the hottest part, because they put up a stat last night on TV, and I think teams were 9-5 when they did that.
Okay.
But they had showed a couple quarterbacks that might have been 6-0. That sat. So that's one of those stats, like, you don't really know. Maybe it's good to get the rest, and then maybe it's not that good. It's the whole rest versus rust type of thing.
As a player, if you all of a sudden have 2 weeks off and then you get jumped back into it, does it take you a minute to get going again? Or should that be actually viewed as a positive? Because especially for someone like Lamar Jackson, you keep him healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not taking any hits out there. Mark Ingram, all those guys.
Well, you know, I've done it both ways. Yeah. And for me, it didn't really seem like that big of a deal for me. Mm. It might be something for a guy like Mark Ingram, who had got nicked up.
Yeah, he needed to sit.
Right, so you need that. I don't think there's anything there with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, you have been really the one voice kind of saying that let's pump the brakes on Lamar Jackson. This guy's not that good. I'm with you as far as long term.
I said this.
You did say he wasn't a quarterback.
That's exactly right. I said
he's a quarterback.
Well, he's and if he was coming out of college and he was if he was
an
coming
athlete?
Out of high school,
he'd be
an
athlete. Then they converted him to quarterback is what happened. But I mean, I think because he had the one playoff start under his belt from a year ago, and he was awful. It was a horrible game. If you go back and look at the stats, they're actually not quite as bad because he ended up scoring a little bit late in that game. But
a lot of garbage yards, though.
All garbage yards. Everybody was waiting for them to bench him for Flacco. And then yesterday's game, again, he puts up some pretty crazy individual numbers.
But even yesterday, it was a lot of garbage yards.
Garbage yards. And that's the thing. As you look at it and say, oh, he's the first quarterback ever in a playoff game to have over 300 passing yards and 100 rushing yards. But he turned it over three times.
Right.
And really, they weren't in the game. I mean, this thing was dominated.
And
by
a lot
the
of those rushing yards, when you look at a lot of those rushing
at
yards
at the end,
when they're playing zone soft coverage and he's now able to get out and run for 30, 40 yards. So if you rip off, you know, three runs for 30 plus yards, there you go. You're already at 90. And I think we saw that late in the game from him.
I mean, we definitely saw
where he did
cool
that.
Highlight, you know, runs or whatever, but it didn't matter. Like the Titans were protecting this big lead. And they can't really throw the ball down the field, so he has to run and pick up first downs.
Well,
like,
I think the
whatever.
Thing that was really glaring, and Dan Fouts talked about it because he's the one who was doing the broadcast, him and
Iron Eagle,
right?
Yeah.
And he had talked about it, which is right. You want to make everything in the middle of the field look cloudy to him and then have to have him throw outside the numbers. That's where he struggles. Or if he is going to throw in the middle of the field, make him throw over the top of the linebackers in between the safeties. Make it difficult. Make those windows tight. Now, I know there was a, you know, Shine Time try to hit me up on social media. Oh, they were all over social media when he dropped the one pass into Hollywood Brown, which was a beautiful.
Oh, he threw a dart right into
him. He threw a dart to a beautiful pass.
Yeah, he was covered, but he still.
Right.
You know.
And then later, I'd say probably in the third quarter, the interception, I made sure I took a picture of it and go.
Yeah, he did not throw it to the receiver.
I said
the
window was pretty wide open on that one. What happened there? But when you look at what you want to do against him, the Titans did a great job as far as taking away his ability to run in the game. If you were going to make him run for 4 or 5 yards, but they had to be hard and difficult yards.
Do you look at last night's game as more of the Ravens kind of fell apart? They choked, they collapsed, they were the top seed, they're the Super Bowl favorite, and they just put up a goose egg at home? Or do you look at it as, holy crap, Tennessee's a good team?
I look at it as Tennessee's a good team, and I think part of it is Tennessee's a good team. They did a good job, and what they were able to do was say, okay, how do we take Lamar Jackson? How do we make the game difficult for him? And I think, and that's what they try to do.
How about some of those fourth and short calls? Because Baltimore, and they made a point to show this a million times, fourth and one, they were 8 for 8 in the regular season.
Right.
So they never missed a fourth and one. And then in this game, they went 0 for 2. And there was one where Lamar Jackson, like, stopped.
Well, they actually went 0 for 3.
Oh, it was an 0 for 3. Because
they had two runs and then the pass at the end of the game.
Yeah. But it was like, I don't know. It didn't seem like I don't know what he was doing. It was like a very weird, we're used to watching Tom Brady do the QB sneak. Mm-hmm. And I know Lamar Jackson and Brady are very, very different.
Well,
but
his first one was a run and he doesn't really follow his blockers and he tries to cut up. But what they did, Tennessee, is they created a lot of pressure, right?
Yeah.
They created a lot of pressure, especially on the two running
plays.
They
were good up front, those guys. The Tennessee guys. Because you don't really look at Tennessee and say, oh, this is this great defense.
Well, I think the thing that Tennessee did in this game that the Patriots didn't do to against them was they had, you know, 3 and 4 down linemen at times or on the with their hand on the ground making things difficult. And they were saying, hey, the inside linebackers, you guys are going to take care of the Mark Ingram and the running back, you know, between the tackles. And our outside linebackers, whatever you do, make Lamar Jackson have to stretch it and go, you know, make him have to go towards the sideline. Don't chase the running back. And I think they did a good job for the most part in that game, Tennessee.
But you also got a sense, because both teams are so good at running the ball, that whoever got out to a lead was going to be in pretty good shape, right? Because they can take so much time off the clock. They can have these long establishing drives.
And neither quarterbacks can really put the game on their shoulders and throw the football.
Think about that. Tannehill, back-to-back games, under 100 yards. Right. Didn't matter, though. That's all he needed. He was 7 of 14 for 88 yards, two touchdowns. Yeah, the Tannisans is on to the AFC Championship game.
And the one touchdown that their second touchdown to make him go up 14-0, that was perfect. Come off play action, you know.
That was awesome. And that was that was the right call, too.
Yeah, because Baltimore loves to blitz.
Yeah.
You know, they love to blitz, and they were able to take advantage of it. And that receiver ran a great route, and Tannehill drops someone in there.
I'll tell you, Mike Vrabel, very easy to root for.
Yeah.
Very easy to root for.
I'm actually rooting for Vrabel from here on out.
Isn't it? I mean, I think after, you know, we looked at the eight remaining teams, and I was saying, I don't really hate any of the teams. I don't really love any of the teams. And you're trying to figure out who you're rooting for. I am 100% rooting for Mike Vrabel and the Titans.
Well, I tweeted at you last night, and I said, because we had this conversation before, yourself, me, you, and Christian Fourier, right? We had this conversation here, is what tier would Vrabel be in the coaching tier, right? You know, Belichick's at the top of that.
Yeah, he's probably on his own, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we were trying to figure out where the tier was. The bottom of the tier, the last tier would be like your Jason Garrett, probably Billy O'Brien.
Right.
And I think the one thing that we really didn't know is like, okay, he's done well, but we haven't really, there's not really been enough out on him yet. Now, granted, it's only been two games. But the thing I had said last, I think I had said when we did NFL Sunday, or we might have been on Dale and Keefe, I said, let's see what Vrabel does defensively against Baltimore.
Yeah, holding him 12 points, I mean, that's pretty
right,
pretty
to see
serious.
If he can slow down this offense. And he was able to do it.
And I also think if you take a team with Ryan Tannehill, who has played very well, I understand the Tannisans and all that other stuff, but if you take him, who was probably, besides Josh Allen, one of the worst quarterbacks going into it. At least, you know, quarterbacks you would want that were on a playoff
team. In the playoffs,
team.
Right, yep.
And now he's there. And again, they're not asking him to throw for 300 yards, but they have a game plan. And they're able to go into New England and then into Baltimore back-to-back weeks.
Right.
I mean, that's as impressive as you're possibly going to find. Now, the one thing I would say is, last year at this time, everybody thought Sean McVay was the greatest coach of all time. Right? Like, he got so much hype.
Right.
People are saying, this guy's an offensive genius, and look what he's doing. He's got Jared Goff playing so well. So,
but you know what Tennessee is, right? I think when you look at Vrabel, his thing is going to be people are going to judge him on what he's doing defensively, right? So now he's sitting there waiting on either the Texans or Kansas City.
Right.
So if he gets Kansas City, now it's okay, Vrabel, what are you going to do against the team? You shut down the best run team in the NFL in the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do against a team that can throw the ball all over the place? And they have tremendous weapons. They have an amazing quarterback.
It's a whole different game plan.
He has to put his team in a position where you look at him and you go, okay, they were able to slow down that Kansas City offense.
What do you do if you're the Ravens now? How do you look at this season? Because, again, they were the favorite. You had mentioned their last loss was week 4. Mm-hmm. Home field advantage throughout. They have the MVP. Everything was lining up for Baltimore.
Right.
And then you lose your first playoff game. It's really not that competitive. Your quarterback, I mean, clearly he's the future of your franchise, but that was a brutal performance. You know, it's not like it was some crazy play at the end. You got upset by, you know, some fluke Hail Mary, like a desperado play. Like, no, they just ran it right down your throats and you couldn't score on it.
Right, and you couldn't do anything. I say you probably what you want to do is you maybe try to find yourself a quarterback and then move Lamar to running back.
So now you got them getting rid of Lamar Jackson.
No,
that's what you would do.
Moving
to running back.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, I think the thing, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, right, what you really have to do is you got to make Lamar Jackson. You got to say he has to become a threat in the passing game. And it can't be where it's just one quick read and a sidearm throw to a check down or into the flat. He has to be a guy that can throw the ball outside the numbers, can throw the ball, you know, between the linebackers and the safeties. And he's got to be that type of guy where he could consistently make those tight window throws. I know they talked about the Mark Edwards throw early in the game, which led to an interception.
Yeah, Andrews, right?
Andrews, pass.
Yeah.
That ball's high.
It was.
If he gets that ball down low, and I know Dan Fouts was trying to blame the receiver, but
of course he was.
As a quarterback, you got to put that thing, he's running across the field, put that thing at eye level.
Yeah. What do you think of the other game, 49ers beating up on the Vikings?
Man,
49ers are legit.
The buzz with Kirk Cousins, they shut down.
The buzz is dead. There's no buzz. The buzz died weeks ago. Yeah, it's not there. They had a nice playoff win last week, though, but that's all they were going to get.
You know what the 49ers do? I would say, except they got a better version of their defense. They're like the Titans, man.
A little bit.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo's not really doing much for that team in the sense of, you know, he's just not putting them in positions to get.
I mean, he throws it more than Tannehill, but I get your point.
Right. Like, I mean, he had a couple bad interceptions.
Yep.
But they're good enough on defense, and they're good enough to run the football.
Yeah, they got a really good defense.
That they can overcome his mistakes. They're not winning football games because of what Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be able to do.
No.
They're winning football games because defensively they can get after the quarterback.
Oh, they can absolutely get it. Nick Bosa is one of the best defensive players in the league.
Right.
They can run the ball. They got a whole bunch of running backs. They can run the ball. So that's a really well-balanced team. And Shanahan's having a really good year, proving that he's a really good coach.
Right. He's dialing up good play calls for Garoppolo. So what Garoppolo has to do is he's similar to a Lamar Jackson in the sense of how they're dialing up plays for him, where maybe like off of a little half bootleg or a little bit of play action, throw the ball to Greg Kittle here, roll him out, drop it over somebody's head, and they're making it very simple for him. They're not asking him to go back and go, okay, go through your first progression, your second progression, and third possession, and then maybe hit your check down.
Yeah, Garoppolo only had 131 yards passing, but that's all he needed. Like you said, like Tannehill, it's like, all right, you don't really need to do a whole lot else. The defense is good. The running game is really good. Tevin Coleman had a really big game.
Right.
You still see a guy like Emmanuel Sanders. I know he only had a couple of catches, but I still just get so annoyed that the Pats didn't make a deal for him.
And the other thing is you got to stop, especially yesterday. Last night I saw it. Yesterday I saw it on Twitter with Debo Samuel.
Him
and A.J. Brown. Oh, man, I can't believe
I know.
Because you don't know what those guys would have been if you drafted.
Here? I know. You have no clue.
You could never do that because you might have drafted A.J. Brown, and then all of a sudden N'Keal Harry's tearing it up in Tennessee, and you're like.
But, I mean, that happens all the time. I feel like we can go through the list of wide receivers the Patriots drafted, and then the next two or three wide receivers after them are all way more productive.
But couldn't you say the same thing about if you were another team and go, man, I can't believe we passed on Gronkowski and the Pats picked him up?
Well, Gronk, yes. But I'm saying the Pats, specifically when they try to get a receiver outside of, like, Deion Branch, they miss.
Yeah, they haven't been. I think their best one that they drafted might have been Malcolm Mitchell. Now, granted,
And even he though like came with
injury problems,
and then so you can't be shocked when his career comes to an end.
But his performance on the field, you were like, all right, you know, this guy's not bad.
Well, the best receiver, although it was you didn't realize he was going to be this good of a receiver, was Julian Edelman, who is also in the news today.
Oh yeah,
as Julian Edelman was out in Beverly Hills last night.
Nice place, Beverly Hills. You ever been there?
I have not.
I've never been
to Beverly Hills.
If you ever get down there, hit up Rodale Drive.
Okay.
You know,
it seems expensive.
It is. I didn't say buy anything. Just walk by. Yeah, walk by, window shop. You'll see all the nice cars out there.
All right.
You may be bumping on a few celebrities.
Well, speaking of nice cars, there was a Mercedes parked outside of some establishment.
Yeah, Mercedes are nice.
And
expensive.
Julian Edelman decided to give it like the people's elbow, I guess.
Was it the people's
elbow? I don't know what he did. But Julian Edelman was arrested last night in Beverly Hills for jumping up on a Mercedes. And apparently, it was at like 9 p.m.?
Right, so he was sauced up.
You know what that means? That is an aggressive amount of day drinking.
Yeah, that means
which I have no problems with.
No,
I actually love a day drink.
He was at a good day drink event. I wouldn't say beach party because it could have been in Malibu. I don't think Malibu's too far from Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he was doing, but I'll tell you what he's not taking part in is dry January. Which a lot of people do. They say after the holidays, you clean it up for the month of January, no booze. Then not the case with
Edelman. True to his form. He's like, you know, why should I, you know, I'm not going to be a fraud and say dry January. I like to have a little something.
I'm going to get boozed up, you know, during the divisional round. Maybe he was watching the games.
He could have been upset.
Maybe a little watch party somewhere.
Yeah, he could have been upset after watching the Titans beat the Ravens. Like, man, we would have had home field. He might have been throwing him back during the whole game and then just goes out there and decides to, you know, go all Lattimore from the program and jumping, you know, destroying cars.
I don't think it's a big deal.
No,
like it's embarrassing.
Not,
yeah. It's kind of stupid.
Yes.
So he technically got TMZ had it. He got arrested for vandalism. That's what the charge were after jumping on a car. And it sounds like he could basically Yeah, you know, so he got out of there. If he pays for the damages,
that's it.
Nothing's really going to happen. But
it's a fine at best.
Just kind of like embarrassing.
Yeah, it's more embarrassing than anything. He's like, you know, he's on TV right now. They're talking.
But if he's walking down the street with all of his buddies mm-hmm. and they see a car and they're like, hey, somebody really needs to jump on that car. Wouldn't it be the non-professional athlete that maybe should jump on the car? Because if that guy gets arrested, not that big a deal. Not a headline, even.
Well, you know,
not even a headline.
And the fact that he's looking at getting knee surgery, too.
I don't love that part of it.
You know, you want to be careful.
He's like injured top to bottom. Like his shoulder, everybody says how gross his shoulder is.
You slip off the car, and now you get another injury.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. I don't know the purpose of that. You're just walking down the street. You're sauced up. Okay, I can understand that.
I don't like the way that car's looking at me.
Right.
I want to go over there and hop on it. And then it just said cause damage. Doesn't really get into specifics of how much damage. I don't know if he like broke the windshield or anything like that, or just dented the hood. I don't know what it was, but
I guess it was like somebody might have saw him and they, you know, saw the police were in that area and say, hey, I saw this guy jump on a car. And
yikes.
He should have just been like, nah, it wasn't me.
I got nothing here.
I didn't jump on no car. I don't know where you got that from.
Nothing to see here. So we got the games from yesterday. The two games yesterday. The Baltimore Ravens losing to the Titans. The Titans look legit. Wiggy's taking a victory lap today because he said the Ravens, he didn't even know who the opponent was going to be.
Well,
he just said they were going to lose in the divisional round.
I had initially said Buffalo.
Right.
Because I thought
it was not the case.
No, but I knew that they were going to lose in the divisional round.
Right. So do you feel like you are now 100% correct with your thoughts on Lamar Jackson throughout the entire year?
I think with Lamar, I am right on him as a quarterback.
Okay.
You know, he'll make a good throw here and there, but if you're able to go up on them, and they went up on them 14-3, and it was 14-0, then 14-3, and then it's if you're able to get a 10-point lead, you know, 14-point lead, it just the more you're able to create distance from the Baltimore Ravens, the more and more difficult it becomes for him as a quarterback to throw the football.
Oh, by the way, on first possession, second half,
mm-hmm.
the Ravens are down 14-6.
Yep.
They have the ball at the Tennessee 18, 4th-and-1. Would you have kicked the field goal there? Or would you have gone for it? And they got stuffed.
Yeah, that I probably would have went for it because they were 8-8. It was 4-6.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was
the one where he tries to run to the right. They do a good job.
But he, like, ran horizontally.
Right.
And then turned around and came running back that way. It's like, no, you got to go up. You got to go up 3 feet.
Well, there was nothing over there. And then he said, all right, I'm going to try to use my athletic ability. And
it looked like he was in quicksand, though. Didn't really appear.
Well, there was nowhere to go because Tennessee did a good job of pushing the line of scrimmage back.
Yeah.
And then it was Landry, who was the defensive end. When he tried to go back the other way, he said, I'm building a wall. You ain't coming this way.
That was how you said to stop Lamar Jackson. You had the whole game plan, build a wall.
And that's what they were able to do most part for the game.
But I wonder if Harbaugh would like to have that one back. I mean, in hindsight, for sure.
I doubt it. He would probably still do the same thing.
Because then, so they missed that one, and then Tennessee scores a touchdown, and then the game was over. 21-6, it was over at that point.
But it would have been 21-9 at that point.
Yeah.
That's Harbaugh's MO all year long. He's been, you know, 4th and less than 3. He's going for it.
So the games from yesterday, Niners with a big win, and of course the Ravens upset with a monster win for Mike Vrabel and the Titans. So they move on. You can call in on either of those games.
I love the Niners win. I love the Niners win.
Niners win was good. It was dominant.
I think what the Niners did helped out the Patriots.
Oh, well, we could get into that coming up. I'm curious as to why that helps them. And then today, Houston, Kansas City, and Seattle, Green Bay. You can listen to both of them right here on WEEI. So thoughts on all the divisional round games. Plus, Tom Brady talked to Scratchy about his future. So we'll get into that at some point. And if you have any thoughts on Julian Edelman fighting a car out in Beverly Hills, that is available to you as well. 617-779-7937. It is Keith and Wiggy. NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I guess I'm good to just come here and take care of business in advance to next week.
It feels great. It feels great to watch the players execute a game plan that the coaches work very hard at. And again, all the credit goes to the coaches and most especially the players. They're the ones that went out there and executed and locked in all week and then came here in a hostile, difficult environment and was able to get off to the fast start that we talked about.
Mike Vrabel, after his team beat up the top-seeded Baltimore Ravens. Really impressive win. And you look at the Titans, a team that was 9-7. They didn't get into the playoffs officially until the last week of the season. Then they go into New England and win, into Baltimore and win. And I'll tell you right now, if they have to play in Kansas City, I think I'm going to take them to win there, too. It's a hard team to bet against right now.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's not easy to continue it week in and week out. But I think
they're hot, though.
Yeah, I think the thing that works for them is their ability to run the football. If they play Kansas City,
Derrick Henry is an absolute wrecking machine.
And Kansas City struggles against the run. So you can imagine what Derrick Henry would be.
Oh, absolutely. Is there a guy that you would even compare him to? Like, Eddie George was really tall and strong. Like, is he kind of like Eddie George? Or, like, you got to go back to, like, Earl Campbell? I mean, big, I feel like Henry, I mean,
big, powerful.
Because he's also fast. Like, you saw him yesterday. Right. Like, he can knock guys over, and then he can also pick up yards running away from guys. Like, what guy is he even like?
Wow. He's a big, powerful.
Give me a
back.
Derrick Henry comp. I'm going to try to. Give me a comp.
Let me think about this. This is a great one.
Yeah.
Big, powerful back with decent speed.
Yeah, I would say he's got to have. What do you think he was like? Like a 4-5
Well, they say he's a 4-5 guy. Yeah. They say he's a 4-5 guy.
I mean, that's pretty good
speed.
Yeah.
The size is
for 6'3", 250. And the guys on the broadcast yesterday were saying, like, he's taller than 6'3", and he's more than 250. Like, that's what he's listed at. He's probably bigger than both. Like, when you see him lined up in the backfield, it does look like a defensive end is back there.
Yeah, he's a big boy back there.
He's huge. Man, and so he is on a hell of a run. He has 377 rushing yards in the playoffs in two games. Like, it's just, he has been a force, and they don't even really have to throw the ball that much. And, oh, by the way, he threw a touchdown on top of it.
Yeah, that was a pretty good.
That was pretty cool. The old Tim Tebow jump pass.
I thought that was a great call.
Yeah.
When you look at where they call that, like, right in that moment, I thought it was a great call by Tennessee.
Yeah, it was. A texter says maybe Corey Dillon. Does it remind you of Corey Dillon at all? Corey Dillon was shorter than that.
Yeah.
But he was a big back. He was a strong back. What about Brandon Jacobs? He's better than Brandon Jacobs, though. But yeah, he was a big dude.
I would say,
That was like a truck of a guy.
I would say he might be the closest comparison for the former running back for the New York Giants, Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, you think so?
Okay. Yeah, I would say the first couple of years of maybe Jacobs' career.
Yeah.
Because
the Thunder and Lightning days?
Yes, he was big.
Yeah, he was 6'4", 260.
That's a good one. I would say that would probably a really good one right there.
Yeah, that guy was a big dude. Now, before the break, you said that the San Francisco 49ers win over the Vikings was a good thing for the Patriots?
Yes.
How?
Very good thing for the Patriots.
Okay, I'm all ears.
All right, now, I don't. Did you watch most of the game?
Oh, yeah, I watched all of both games, yeah.
All right, Stephon Diggs wants out of Minnesota.
100%.
Wants out 100%. Of Minnesota.
I bet Thielen does, too. They don't want to be there. Neither of those guys want to be there.
Well, there you go. Take your pick, right?
Yeah.
You look at them. They're a team that they're really based around what they can do with Dalvin Cook.
Right. That's all they do is Dalvin Cook. Although yesterday he had 9 carries for 18 yards.
Right. No, no.
But they give him the ball a ton.
Right.
And it's funny because there'll be week after week where your healer, Diggs is upset or Thielen's upset. And then when they actually decide to throw to those guys, they make plays.
Right.
Like, they're both very, very good. You saw the one touchdown that Diggs had. There was another one that was kind of close to it. He had thrown into double coverage there, and he got hit pretty good by Jimmy Ward. But, yeah, I think I get where you're going now. Diggs is going to want out.
Diggs is
going to
want out. I think he wants out more than Thielen wants out, because I feel like with Diggs, he has with Thielen, him and Cousins might have a little bit better relationship.
He was chirping him, though, earlier in the year. Remember?
No, I know he was, but I think maybe off the field.
Okay.
Maybe, you know.
Why would you say that?
You could tell.
Why is that?
Because you could tell how certain guys, like Julian Edelman and
right.
Brady hang out.
Right.
You could tell that there are certain.
How do you know that Cousins and Thielen hang out?
I didn't say. I just said. It looks like
you feel like they might sit together in the cafeteria.
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
Yes. They might sit at the same table in the cafeteria.
Oh, okay,
where Diggs might be at another table.
Oh, I got you.
You know, and it's just it's more in common.
Yeah, Diggs wants out. He definitely wants out, and that would be a guy that I would have on my short list. We talked about him during the season, during the trade deadline.
Right.
Now Minnesota turned things around and they started to win a bunch of games, so they weren't going to trade him during the season. And, you know, clearly that made sense. They made the playoffs. They won a game, so it's not like they should have. But going forward, if he's going to be a problem, think about it. He was pissed off last week when they won.
Right.
They beat the Saints, and he was all fired up. So, yeah, I think Diggs definitely wants out, because the free agent list for wide receivers is not the most impressive thing.
Right.
So if you're going to really convince Tom Brady to stay.
And when you look at his cap number and you look at how much his, he's about $15 million hit towards the cap.
Pretty good though, right?
Yeah. But he's a good player. And I think, if you have him in your offense paired alongside Edelman, and then you're able to maybe find you, there'll be a tight end out there. Maybe you'll find you a guy like Tyler Eifert that you can say, all right, we'll sign you to a one-year deal and you can rejuvenate your career.
Right.
He would be a great option for the Patriots. He would be that playmaker that you could hang your hat on.
Yeah.
And he would come here and he'd be happy because he'd be getting the ball a ton.
That would make the most sense for him, because he does not want to be there. They're so weird, Minnesota, and their offensive coordinator is one of the candidates for the Browns job, which I don't understand. Both receivers lose their minds all the time.
Right.
They go some games where they run the ball a million times, and then the next game they don't run it at all.
And they don't throw it to these guys.
They don't know. Think about that. So he's the offensive coordinator for Diggs and Thielen, and now he's going to get the job with Beckham and Landry. How is he going to use those guys?
Well,
probably the same way. Beckham's going to be just as pissed.
Because he's going to want to get the ball to Nick Chubb.
He's going to hand the ball to Nick Chubb a million times. So I don't know what's going on there. We can get into that, by the way, too. The Cleveland Browns still have not hired their head coach.
Do you think that the Josh McDaniels going to Cleveland thing is starting to that boat is starting to set sail?
I don't know what to think, because
I believe it is.
Because you think if they liked him so much, they
would have hired him
right away on Friday.
Yeah. Why wait?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why? What are you waiting for?
If you really like his wife, for God's sake, she get to sit in on the interview.
Right. If you really like me that much, why? What are we doing here?
Right. Like Matt Rhule, they wouldn't let him leave Carolina.
Right.
They gave him a 7-year deal.
If you wanted,
you might be right.
And you already interviewed Stefanski and Salah in San Francisco. So you interviewed everybody. If you really wanted me that bad, why? What's going on here?
That's a good point. Let's go to John in Nantucket on a Derrick Henry comp. What do you got, John?
Hey, Derrick Henry is Eric Dickerson reincarnated.
Yeah?
He was bigger than the same
running style. They both run straight up.
Yeah, but Eric Dickerson wasn't as powerful of a runner as Derrick Henry. I mean,
he might have been faster, right?
Dickerson was probably, 215 pounds?
Yeah, he was listed at 6'3", 220.
220.
Henry's listed at 250. But right. But as far as like the style, John,
yeah,
I think you're right.
Style yeah. Running, yeah.
Same. Similar running style.
Yeah.
Similar size, similar running style. Henry's a little bigger, and I think Dickerson was a little faster, but that's who he reminds me of anyway.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, John. I was looking up Derrick Henry's stats like before they played the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
His high school numbers, Wiggy, and you can appreciate
these. Yeah, I saw the video of him in high school.
The freaking charts.
I wonder where he went to high school. He was like
somewhere in Florida.
The biggest kid, but just because he goes to high school in Florida.
Florida's pretty good.
Not every school in Florida is good.
Well, I know, but still, he was the top recruit in the country and then won the Heisman at Alabama. So, but his freshman year, he had over 2,000 yards rushing. His senior year, he had over 4,000 yards rushing.
Yeah.
In one high school season.
Did you him in high school?
Yeah, it was the same size as he is now.
He was bigger than everybody on the field.
That's still pretty impressive. You're not impressed by it?
I mean,
he had over 12,000 yards rushing in high school.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not really.
You're not that impressed.
No, because if he's the biggest and best athlete on the team, guess what? I'm the coach. Yeah. You know how many times you get in the ball a game?
You probably should get the ball.
Yeah,
a lot.
You probably should put up good numbers. You should probably, wherever you're from, you should be, you should be the state record holder, whether it's, quarterback or running back.
Some of the other ones we're getting on the text line, Bo Jackson, Jim Brown, Herschel Walker, Steven Jackson, Earl Campbell. Christian Okoye.
No, I would say what's
you think Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, but he's better than Brandon Jacobs.
No.
But you just think like
style.
Style and size.
And size.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
And their speed, right?
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Because I bet you Brandon Jacobs, right? I'm going to figure out what he ran.
He did have a couple of really good years.
Yeah, if you look at him.
And you're just like, why would you want to tackle this guy?
Right. If you looked at him in the first, couple of. You know, he ran a 4.5, a 4.5, 6.40. Yeah. A 6'4", very, very similar body style, very similar running style.
Right.
Because they were big backs. Very difficult to get down. And I'm just talking about the early Brandon Jacobs in his career.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. When the Thunder and Lightning, he had a couple thousand yards.
Right, I would say that would be the best comparison to, or if you were going to compare a player.
Do you think there's a bit of a rebirth in the sense of, the running game and the value of an individual running back? Because there is some school of thought, and I don't subscribe to this, but a lot of people do, that any pro-level running back is a good running back, and it's really more about the system, it's more about the offensive line, it's more about the offensive coordinator.
No, I don't believe that.
Okay, neither do I.
So
we're not going to argue on that, because I think you watch Derrick Henry play, Sony Michel, you can plop
Henry,
him down.
On that long run last night, should have been tackled in the backfield.
Correct. And a lot of pro running backs would have been.
Right.
Right. And I think there might be a little bit more of a, because you remember, and this is going back a few years, but there was that lull where all of a sudden, I think it was back-to-back years, there was no running back taken in the first round.
Right.
Because they were like, well, the value is really later on. Like, we don't want to do this. But those upper echelon guys, and actually Derrick Henry was a second round pick.
Right.
But I think you're starting to see it kind of go back
the
other way.
The question is, how long can you do it with a guy like Derrick Henry?
That's the thing. And I don't even know if they have, because they need to extend him. He's a free agent, isn't he, after this year?
Yeah.
So, I mean, by the end of their second deal, I feel like running backs are almost always cooked, like with the exception of Frank Gore and a couple other guys. Don't you think if they play 8 years, that is absolute max? You know, because this is year four.
Right, but out of those 8 years, how many?
Are elite?
Yes.
Five, maybe?
Okay.
I mean, that's what I get. I mean, give or take. That's what I would think.
So that's the thing. You have to be careful, especially with a guy like Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You're giving him the ball 30-plus a game.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to be wearing
him down. Like, it's not like you can go, okay, we don't have to give him the ball as much because we can do some other things.
Right.
We can throw the foot. If you can get a quarterback there and you can go, okay, we only have to give you the ball 18 times a game because you know what? We can throw the ball successfully. Right. Now things get a little bit easy. You don't have – now he doesn't have to be – the wear and tear isn't as bad as, when you just give him the ball 30-plus times a game.
It's the divisional round, NFL Sunday edition. Keith and Wiggy here until 2:30. The two remaining divisional round games, Houston and Kansas City, Seattle and Green Bay, you can listen to right here on WEEI. We'll get back to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Later on the show, Tom Brady talked about his future with Jim Gray, plus Tom E. Curran will join us at 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
NFL Sunday right now with Jermaine Wiggins and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
An outside narrative this week is that this could be a Super Bowl preview. What do you make when you hear talk like that?
Super Bowl preview? You think the 49ers are going to the Super Bowl? It could be. Let's see. We just go out there and try to play the best football we can possibly do. And when the Super Bowl comes, whoever we play, they're going to be in trouble.
That was Ravens safety Earl Thomas earlier in the year leading up to the Baltimore-San Francisco game. Mm-hmm. Really, my big takeaway initially and like what was the fallout after last night was Earl Thomas saying whoever we play in the Super Bowl is in trouble.
It's going to be an issue.
It's going to be an issue. But it's even more of a bird on San Francisco. Like twice he's like, you think San Francisco's going to be in there? And the guy's like, yeah, I don't know, maybe. He's like, I don't know, could be.
Well, you know,
they look like they're in a much better spot than you are.
Right,
at this
point. If I had a pick between who's got a better chance of being in the Super Bowl, Earl.
You think San Francisco's going to be there? He's like, I don't know. I'm also saying I think you're going to be there. Well, I didn't say they're going
to
beat you.
Going to the Super Bowl.
We'll wow. see. That's much more of a burn at the Niners than everybody else.
Maybe Earl Thomas goes down to Super Bowl week and does ESPN.
He could. Yeah, he could be there. He could still go to Miami, right?
I mean, that's what, if I worked for ESPN, I'd be like, all right, we got to get Earl.
We
got to
get Earl. Earl will say some stuff. I'm telling you, that stiff arm is one of the great highlights of this postseason run, is Derrick Henry sees Earl Thomas and spins him like a top, spun him around. He stiff-armed him in like the shoulder and then the back.
Right.
I've never seen anything like it. That was incredible. And this is also Earl Thomas, who last week was kind of crapping on the Patriots, saying that they didn't look like they were interested in tackling Derrick Henry. So it's been a tough couple of months here for Earl Thomas.
Now, when you think about, see, I think we all think about the Derrick Henry, his, you know, being able to run the football and being able.
Yeah, he's dominant.
Being able to do that. Now, when you look at I think it's, you know, it's going to be a good test.
What's that?
To see, because what's the biggest question? We always say, can you build a team by just running the football?
Right, because I would say most people would say no. Most would say you cannot do that. But two, I think there's actually three examples. All of a sudden this year, three of the best teams really rely on their running game. The Ravens did it, and you saw it happen to them. But then so do the Titans, who beat them. And let's face it, San Francisco is more of a run team than a pass team.
Yes.
Right? And the 49ers look pretty dominant doing it that way. So, I don't know. And now, their formula is a little bit different. They don't have a 1,500-yard rusher in the backfield. They have, like, more of a committee is how they do it. They're much more Kyle Shanahan scheme.
But their scheme is, I would say that they're more of a run first, or we're built around our running play and good defense.
Yeah.
Very similar to the way that the Tennessee Titans are built.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they just use one guy, where San Francisco uses
three or four, a
group of guys.
Right.
But I tell you, if Kansas City can win, then that's going to be the game that you look at and go, here's a team that's built on throwing the football.
Yeah, and it's still passing. Because I think most people would say it's a passing.
See, I think with the running teams, here's what you have to do, because you saw it yesterday. You saw the best running team in the NFL get down.
Right. And then what do they do?
Right.
You can only do so many QB sneaks, you know, when you're down by 16.
Right. You can only rip off so many 6-7 yard runs before you go,
right,
wait a second, you know, the clock keeps ticking.
Because that's the thing too, is you know, a lot of people want to belittle Ryan Tannehill. And again, his stats have not been impressive except for the win category. But they haven't been in a position yet where
he
has to throw it.
Right.
I mean, and then when he has, let's face it, there's a couple of throws against the Patriots he had to get. The touchdown, and then there's the third down. He hit those.
Right.
And then this game, you know, they were kind of going for it once they got the turnover. That was a great throw.
Right. But it's easy to do that. It's easy to make
those ones,
one, the two, the three throws that you have to make during the football game.
Right.
The hard part becomes where it becomes a shootout, right?
Oh, if Tannehill has to throw the ball 30 times.
Right.
Unlikely they win. Right. I mean, I think the stats even back that up. Like, I think in the because he went 7-3 as a starter in the regular season, mm-hmm. and I think the losses were all pretty much similar kind of format.
So I think so when you look at if Kansas City wins,
I believe they do
because yeah. I'm just not sold on the Texans.
No,
you're now going to have the team that is built running the football,
right,
and the team that's built throwing it.
Let's go to Jay in Myrtle Beach. He joins us next. What's up, Jay?
Gentlemen, what's going on?
How you doing?
Good. Hey, I just want to weigh in. I was going to say Jim Brown for Derrick Henry, but I changed my mind.
Okay, who do you got?
He's more like Bo Jackson. Okay. And I'll tell you this. Look at the stiff arms that he did.
Yeah.
He sat Earl Thomas down like he was Jesus.
Yeah.
He said, he put his hand right on his forehead and said, bless you, son.
Yeah, <it did.
laughs> But, yeah. I think the only way to get Tom Brady here as well is to get Stephon Diggs. And I don't know. I would shoot for Amari Cooper because Amari Cooper has that mindset of work hard, do your thing, and he doesn't talk a lot. So I think that's one of the only ways we can keep Tom Brady here.
All right, Jay, thanks for the phone call. Amari Cooper, I would say, is one of three or four wide receiver free agents that
right.
you would at least say, oh, that's a real guy. Emmanuel Sanders is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Anderson, I don't know how you feel about him, but he's a free agent. Was there another guy besides Cooper? It's not a great list, to be honest.
I'm going to look at the – you want the exact names right now?
The wideouts?
The free agents?
Yeah, the free agent wideouts.
Okay.
Cooper's the guy who will get the most money, which
Cooper,
you also
yep.
have to factor in.
Fitzgerald, but we probably know
yeah.
he's either going to retire or go back. Emmanuel Sanders.
So I like him still.
Amendola. Randall Cobb.
No.
Robbie Anderson.
I like Robbie.
Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, A.J. Green, Nick says. A.J. Green.
Yeah,
I'll take him. I mean, he missed all season, so I don't know if he's going to be healthy or not.
Let's see.
You still just
no,
rolling
I don't see
through?
I don't see A.J. Green.
He is a free agent, though.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah. He is.
Okay.
All right, you got to listen to this call here, Wiggy. John and Gardner has some things to say about you.
All right.
John, what do you got?
Morning, boys. How about them Titans, huh?
How about them?
How about them Titans?
Rich, I don't know you too well. I've been in and out with your program, so I wanted to make sure you had given credit to the blind Black Panther who finally got something right in picking that Baltimore upset.
Ooh,
granted,
Black
everything
Panther.
Else
wow,
didn't
great
work
movie.
Too well.
Wow. Top 25 movie. Rich didn't have it
no,
in his top 25 of the decade.
It's a good film, though. I like it.
You remember the voice, Black Panther?
What?
Black Panther, the voice.
The voice. I remember the movie.
Well, I'm talking to you, Wiggy. Black Panther, comma, do
yeah.
you recognize the voice?
Yeah, I do recognize the voice. It's White Lightning.
Hey, bingo, brother. Rich, remind me to call back sometime and tell you why not to enter into a business agreement with Wiggy.
Fair
right?
enough. Yeah, fair enough.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. All right. So basically, he's saying you kind of lucked into the Ravens pick. You said the Ravens weren't going to win. He says, you know.
Lucking into that pick means, you know, hey, we got to pick games. And
right. Full disclosure, you did have the Patriots winning the Super Bowl.
That is true. Right. That is true. But looking into it, when you've been saying that the Ravens were going to lose in the division around for 8 weeks.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
no, that is really good.
That's not really lucking into it.
No, I don't think so either. All right, we come back. We will listen to Tom Brady and what he had to say about his future with Jim Gray. We will do that. Plus, Tom E. Kern will join us at 1 o'clock. You can join us about any of these divisional round games.
I have a question for you, right?
Okay, great.
Because I think this guy might be available, but are you...
Okay.
Is it going to be worth it money-wise?
Oh, all right. So we'll add that to the conversation as well. This is NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.